for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Monday evening service of July the 1st, 1996, of the family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the speaker for the evening.
Praise God.
Well, it's out there. Now, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to brag on Jesus here a little bit.
There you go, Brother Billy. That's all right.
Praise the Lord. So good to be in the camp, and we can give you a good report tonight. And God's people always has a good report.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if we're in the fire or out of the fire. He's with us in both places, Brother Jack. Praise God. And we're seeing God do some great things in Carthage. We're seeing a vision come true, being fulfilled. Here about 1983, the Lord gave us a threefold vision of enlargement, evangelization, and education. And we are seeing that come to pass by the Holy Spirit, by men and women that are engaged in ministry, in the work there. And we will be going into our 12th year of Christian education. We're full to capacity. We can't build enough building to accommodate all the kids that want to get into Christian education, so we need your prayer. We just ask you to pray for us, that we can keep facility and staff so that we can accommodate that. Praise God. We're seeing a move of God. We're seeing also we have added to our enlargement and evangelization and education, we have added another E. We have added excellency of ministry. And I believe that anointed ministry is a excellent ministry. And I believe tonight, now, we are actually becoming a part and experiencing a kingdom anointing. Now, we know, you know, that there is an anointing for the priest and the prophet and the king. And I'm having to kind of pull back just a little bit tonight. But this is in my spirit that God is anointing a kingdom of priests. This has been his vision. This is God's vision. He intended to do this with Israel. Israel copped out on him, didn't make it, didn't fulfill that desire in God. But he says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, kingdom of priests. And there is an anointing from God that is a kingdom anointing that we will take with us into the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so our vision and our knowledge of the Word of God is increasing and growing. We teach our people the Word of God, and everywhere we go, the Word of God is priority. Amen. If you want deliverance, get in the Word of God. If you want to grow in God, get in the Word. That's the way you grow. If you want faith in God, it comes by hearing the Word of God. Praise God. And the anointing, I praise God for an anointing. Amen. And several years ago when the Lord saved me and filled me and healed me and called me and let me know that He had chosen me to minister the Word of the Lord, I discovered an anointing. And it was kind of frightening at first. Never sensed this before. But I found out that you have to open your mouth to get it. that it just doesn't come automatically. But when you open your mouth, I tell my people all the time, every one of you ought to have to preach at least one time. Because if you could preach one time and really preach, you'd preach yourself out of the mullet grubs. You would preach yourself well. You would preach yourself into victory. You say, well, why do you say it? Because I've done it. Many, many times I've walked to the pulpit sick, come out well. I went to the pulpit without a word, come up with something. It comes from the anointing that abides. Praise God. And tonight I'd like to encourage you to, you know, the Apostle Paul exhorts us to seek those gifts that are excellent gifts, that are the best gifts. I would like to exhort you to ask God, seek God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, if you have the Holy Spirit, you've got the anointing within. You just need to find out how to initiate it and how to activate it, how to let it flow. Praise God. It heals people. It breaks and destroys the yokes on people's life. It brings deliverance. It sets you free. Praise God. There's no enemy that can come through the anointing. None. Amen. I don't care what kind of image you got of yourself. If you can get the anointing of God upon your life, it'll break that image. If it's not a good image, it can be a good image. Praise the Lord. So I thank God. Brother Glenn, thank you for letting me brag on Jesus here a little bit. For the Lord would say unto thee, my people, open thy mouth wide, and I shall fill it, saith the Lord. For this is the day of filling up. This is the day of maturing and coming to fullness. For the Lord wouldn't have you to know that all things in this day is coming to its fullness. So am I, saying the Lord. I am coming to a fullness in my people. Therefore, submit yourself unto me and to my word, and you shall find my life and my anointing upon your life. I shall be bringing people from the east and the west and the north and the south. And I shall sit them down before me, saith the Lord, and they shall hear my word, and they shall grow in it, and they shall rise up as an army of God. For my word is going forth today throughout the earth, saith the Lord, consummating my purpose and my plan in the earth today, saith the Lord. You are called. You have been called and chosen of God to be a part of my anointing and my spirit, hallelujah, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
You know, I am 100% belief that God is raising up a people for the kingdom.
Amen.
For the kingdom. And before we were ever here, this was prophesied that this place would be a garrison for the kingdom. I believe that it has been. I believe that it is yet to be. And a garrison is a place where people go for rejuvenation, to get new equipment, to go back out to battle. So when you come here, you expect you to go out to warfare.
Hallelujah.
That's the purpose. He was mentioning about the kingdom. I don't know, Jack and Brother Billy and Bill and I and Coffees and Tommy and Jack and Bill Goodson, we're all kingdom people. We believe that God's raising up a people for the kingdom.
Amen.
And that God's raising up a people to take the kingdom. Now, I can't explain that to you. I just feel it inside of me. That's all. Don't ask me to tell you how, because God doesn't tell me nothing about that. And he hasn't told you either. But we just got to be available. But there's a lot of things, places in the Scripture that bother me from time to time and when people are ministering. And one of them, Brother Billy mentioned tonight. He quoted it. But there's a couple other scriptures that say the same thing, except the translation says that we're a kingdom of priests. But if you look up the original does not say that. There's only one king, that's Jesus. And we're a kingdom of priests unto the Lord. And you will never be a king, because there's only one king and there can't be two. And so when people say that we're going to be a king, kings and priests, that is not so. That is not scriptural. However, the scripture, they read the scripture, but if they would look it up, they'd find it's wrong. There are four places in the Bible where it talks about being a kingdom of priests or kings and priests. But every place it states it, it is a kingdom of priests in the original. I'll give them to you. If you want to write them down, there's four places. And I've changed my Bible where it says a king, kings. I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to tell you where they're at. I've changed my Bible where I find places in the Word that is different in the original than what it is in the Scripture. I take a pencil and I change it, or a pen and I change it. I've got before me Revelations chapter 1 and, of course, verse 5 and 6, where it says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But the King James says kings and priests. My Bible, I got a King James, but my Bible don't say that anymore. My Bible says a kingdom of priests unto our God. Then in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, and here in Exodus 19 and 6, it is a correct translation. It says, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And God's calling you, looking for a holy nation. God says in his word, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I used to read that and I used to say, well, that's nice, but nobody can do that. I've changed my mind. God says that you can do it, and he requires us and expects us to be a holy people. Amen. And if something happens, he expects you to be a quick repenter and repent, because he desires and requires a holy people. And they're the only ones that's going to be the overcomers. There's a holy people. I may talk about that another day, but not tonight. Then in Revelations chapter 5 and verse 10, we find again in 5:10. Let's read 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Where are we going to reign?
On the earth.
Where we've been taught by tradition?
In heaven.
We're going to reign in heaven. We're going to reign on earth.
Amen.
God created this earth for his people to rule and reign over, and we're going to reign on earth. Now, that's 3. There's one more, and that's in 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 9. And this one we quote, I hope you quote it all the time, but I am a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. I am, and you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people or treasure. We are a peculiar treasure, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called me and you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. So God's calling us to be a kingdom of priests, called out of darkness into the light of the glorious salvation of the Lord Jesus through the shed blood of Calvary. There is remission of sins and forgiveness, and that we may walk in the path of righteousness and holiness, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen, amen. Well, Billy, you just stir that up in me. Amen, amen.
Amen.
We were down to Brother Billy's church 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe it's longer than that, but it seems like that's all it was. We had a good time down there. Well, hello, Laura. Blessings. We've been missing you. You've been missing good meetings. And we were down there, and we ministered in the church. But what I was thrilled about was he had us minister to the children in the school. And I just enjoyed that. We had a wonderful time ministering to the children that was in the school. And they have a wonderful facility down there and a wonderful anointing of the Lord that moves down there in their place that the Lord's give them to labor. And I keep forgetting the name of the town. Carthage, about 30 miles southeast of Beckville, where Brother Jack is.
Carthage in every state.
There's, really?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware. Says there's a Carthage in every state in the Union.
Well, I don't know about Hawaii. But
all the rest of them. Well, anyway, we got the kingdom in Carthage, Texas, and it's growing and multiplying there. Amen, amen. Well, another. Only one? Are you? Oh. Come on now, Jack. That's so big you drive through it before you, and you wonder where. You see the sign, and pretty soon you wonder, well, where is this place? And you look around, and it's back behind you. But there's a wonderful Spirit of the Lord down in that part of the country. Amen. Well, I thought of something else, but I'll let it go to another time. Amen. We're going to turn Brother Jack Harris loose here to minister and prophesy the word of the Lord to us this evening. And as the Spirit of the Lord moves, we appreciate Brother Jack. He's one of our board members of the campground, and Brother Dr. Null is. And we appreciate their ministry. And all the rest of these ministers might as well be board members, because they're all advisors, and I'm open to hear all their help for the campground. Because this place can't be run by Glenn and Irma Miller. It's got to be run by the Lord and the help of the rest of you. We've done our best, and I hope it's been good enough. But only the Lord can help us and move by His Spirit. So I'm going to ask Brother Jack to come and minister the rest of this evening and to close the service tonight as he sees fit. And then these other gentlemen will be ministering tomorrow and the next day as the Lord leads and gives us opportunity. And we'll hear from them, and they have an anointed word to bring. To those who have heard them before, well, you were blessed, and you'll be blessed again.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Glenn. Praise the Lord.
Raise things up a little bit here,
you
know, just slightly.
I don't know.
Six feet six makes a whole lot of difference to 5'5".
I'm used to kind of moving around a little bit. I may not be able to stay harnessed here. Yeah.
I hate to do that.
Well, I felt that way once before. I went in the Army when I was 16 years old, and they made me put on a necktie, and I stood for a few hours, thought I was tied. Another thing about it,
it was they give me two big, tall duffel bags that tall, full of clothes and shoes, and the necktie was the only thing that fit me.
It wasn't too short?
Well, they wasn't too particular with them. I have to look long and far to get one long enough for me. Now, but there was a preacher, me and Brother Billy and I were preaching a convention, and this preacher was kidding us about where we got those ties that kindly done this, you know. Well, we was back there about 2 years later. You get the drift, don't you? We were kind of just pale, and we were big in the middle. Yeah. We were back there about 2 years later, and I said to him, well, I see you found the place where me and Brother Billy got them things. By then, I was wearing a pretty straight one again. Well, thank the Lord. Tell you, one on these guys, Brother Bill, I believe, was mentioned, or some of Sashay's up country, and we was coming back down one night. I don't know where we was at. We was in Pennsylvania, Maryland, or somewhere up that way. And we had been gone from good while, several days. We had finished up and was going to try to get home quick as we could, going to come back to Texas. It was a lot of miles. And we was kind of taking the time about driving. We were going down the interstate. I got in the back seat and was going to sleep all day, was up front, you know, and we was kind of switching around. Way in the night, I heard them talking to each other, and they thought I was asleep. And one of them said, "Brother Bill, where are we at?" But I don't know. Where are we? I don't know. We didn't. I don't know where we are.
We was in Tennessee.
Yeah, we was in Tennessee, yeah. Well, as it turned out, we were supposed to be on 40, I guess, in Tennessee, but we was way down in some town across tracks. And I heard, they said, one of them said, "Let's wake up Bud Jack." Tell him we're lost. Well, I raised up and I said, what do y'all think tomorrow? I don't know. I said, we'll have to get off the interstate. Well, I assumed right away we wouldn't know no interstate. I never could find out how they got off the interstate. praise the Lord. I guess we had an awful good time, though,
yes,
together.
Amen.
Traveling. We were a lot younger then than we are now. Yeah, our necktie is hung pretty straight about that time, didn't it? Say, Carol wanted me to sometimes I blend a little war, my war experiences into my ministry, and she kind of liked that. A lot of people kind of likes it. I found it takes the same determination for ministry as it did for that, and that did for ministry. But I probably won't be able to do that tonight, but I will tell you one story pertaining not really a war experience, but an experience that trends to the war. It happened a long time ago. I was visiting a veterans hospital, and I went into one of those wards, you know, like they used to have in veterans hospital, and I was visiting with the veterans there, and I come to this one guy that was older than most of them, and I knew right away he was a World War I veteran, and he didn't have a shirt on, and he had two scars, one right here and one right here. And that was in front, and in the back he had bigger two scars, you know, where they... And I asked him about that, and he said, "Well," said, "I got shot." And I had concluded about that much, and I said, "Well, did you get both of them at the same time or one at a time?" He said, "Well, there's kind of a story behind it if you'd like to hear it." And I said, "Yes, I'd be very interested in hearing it." He said, "Well, we were trench fighting." And said, "I was from Kentucky. And I belonged to an outfit called the Kentucky Sharpshooters. And they brought us up and placed us in the trenches there. They were already at war, and we just replaced another outfit. And the trenches about 150 feet apart, and we were just shooting at each other. And the Germans shooting at us, and we shooting at them. And the Germans... It seems that their instructor had told them that they had learned through their intelligence that this Kentucky Sharpshooters was coming up. So the instructor told him he'd done his history on America and the states, and he said, about 25 years ago in Kentucky, they had a governor named Exeby Creech. And he was tall, handsome, and really good-looking, and many of the women named their boys as they were born Exeby. Said, "Well, I'll bet you if there's 10 men in that trench, that one of them would be called Exeby." By the way, he said, "It's time for me to introduce myself. I'm Exeby French." So he said that they was fighting in the trenches and everything was, you know, it was pretty hot and everything got quiet still with nothing happening. And so he just slid down with his back to the wall of the trench. He slid down, hunkered down, you know, to rest. And said, about time he hit the bottom, somebody hollered, "Exeby!" And he raised up to see who it was, and that's when I got this one. So he went back and got doctored up a little bit, and they got him healed, and he come back, started back front, and come through one of them rehab places, and they giving him a little bit of advice. Said, "Say," said, "you know the Germans named their boys Fritz." Said, "Well, Fritz is as common a name as John is in Texas." Well, so he said, something for him to remember, you know. So he said, "I bet you if there's 10 men in that trench out there, Germans, that two of them's named Fritz." And so they got back up there, and he decided he'd turn tail. So they fought a little while, and then there come a lull, and when it was got real quiet, he raised up and hollered, "Hey, Fritz!" Nothing happened. So he got back down, you know, and waited, got down low with his rifle trained at the trench, you know, waiting somebody to stick a head up and answer. They didn't stick a head up, so he waited a couple of minutes, and he hollered, "Hey, Fritz!" It wasn't going to work, so he give up, slid back down, hunkered down in the trench. About the time he hit the ground, somebody hollered, "Is that you, XB?" And he raised up again. That's how he got the other one. I never did check his story out. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
God is good. Praise the Lord. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes.
I love to come here.
Yes.
I always go home feeling like that I've taken away more than I left. Praise the Lord. Blessed more than I've been a blessing. Thank the Lord. The psalmist said, "Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayers. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I." This portrays the psalmist as being full, all he can take. He feels like that he's been pressed right to the end of the earth, right to the end of the world. And if he gets one more slight shove, he will go hurling off backwards into space. And from this position, he cries unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And entreated him to hear his plea, hear his cry.
Hallelujah.
"I'm crying from the ends of the earth. My heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I."
Hallelujah.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, "The Lord's done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. They that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them." Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. Our God lives. Our God lives.
Yes.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Let's do it again. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Say so.
No, you say, "I'm redeemed."
I'm redeemed.
Now let's do it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
I'm redeemed.
Oh, that sounded good. Hallelujah. Well, that's great, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord gives us an invitation to come into Him tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I pray for this people that are under the sound of our voice tonight. I pray that the anointing from Thee, O Lord, will break every yoke and destroy every fetter, O Lord. I pray that the spirit of revelation, the spirit of submission, O Lord, the spirit of discipline will enshroud this people tonight, O Lord. My Lord, and that You will enable us to break the bread of life. My, where that it'll feed those that are hungry. My, there'll be something for everybody. Oh, blessed be God forever. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And the Lord would say unto thee, "Yea, come unto me, all of you that labor and are laden with heavy burdens, for I will be your answer, saith the Lord. Yea, I am the answer to every problem you have. Yea, I am the answer to every question you have, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall surely reveal myself unto you in a greater manner as you draw nigh unto me. I tell you what, saith the Lord, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Yea, and you can gauge the distance by how nigh you want to come, saith the Lord. Yea, if you will come in to me, I'll make you a new creation, saith the Lord. Yea, I will make old things old and they'll pass away. All things will become new to thee. You can have a new life, as it were, saith the Lord. Yea, this can be a new beginning, a new marker, a memorial, saith the Lord of hosts. Yea, for I desire to draw you into my bosom. Yea, as a tender shepherd, saith the Lord. I desire to nourish you from infancy to maturity, saith the Lord. Yea, I have something for you in whatever category you may fall in. Yea, just look unto the Lord and be you saved from all the ends of the earth, for nothing goes beyond my reach. Yea, nothing is beyond my grasp, saith the Lord. Yea, know that my eyes have not grown dim, or that I cannot see all the crevices of the universe at one glance, saith the Lord. Yea, my ears have not grown dull, whereby that I cannot hear the faintest cry of the least of mine. Yea, from the ends of the earth, saith the Lord. Neither has my arm been shortened that I cannot reach into the furthest crevices for one of mine that is in trouble, saith the Lord. Yea, call on me in the day of trouble, and I shall surely answer thee, saith the Lord. Yea, but I do not form a habit of calling on me only in the day of trouble. Yea, but give praise unto your God in the day of plenty, saith the Lord. Yea, and you'll find that something strange is happening, for your days of trouble will be fewer and fewer and fewer until they become depleted, saith the Lord our God. Yea, for it is my good intent to do all measure of good to you. I already have directed good intents toward you tonight, saith the Lord. Yea, I have directed good feelings toward you tonight. Yea, and I direct you to have good feelings toward one another. Yea, bear ye one another's burdens, and you will fulfill the royal law of Christ, saith the Lord. Yea, Lord, know that I have put you together to help each other. Yea, to bear one another's burdens, to pray together. Yea, to come together and learn of me, saith the Lord. Yea, as you learn of me, you'll learn that I'm everything that you will need, saith the Lord. I'm more than willing. Yea, I shall bring thee from here to Zion, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall bring thee over, ye shall not go under. Yea, thou shalt not be defeated, but ye shall be victorious, saith the Lord. For the Lord of glory shall go before thee. Yea, and he shall make the highways low, and the low places he will make level, saith the Lord. Yea, I will lead you in a plain path. Yea, that a wayfaring wayfaring man or fool need not err in this highway of holiness, saith the Lord. I'll lead you right into holiness, saith the Lord. I'll make you a holy people. Yea, and then you can look and see where you come from and where you are this day, saith the Lord. Yea, so you are my people. Yea, you are my people, and I shall surely secure you and your experience, saith the Lord. Yea, and thou shalt dwell with me in peace and in happiness and in life. Yea, I shall not bring you to death, but I shall teach you life. I'll teach you how to live, saith the Lord. Yea, thou shalt make no covenant with death, but thou shalt make a covenant with life, and ye shall live. Because I live, ye shall live also, saith the Lord. Yea, for I am the Lord, and all that I say is true. Yea, I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. I speak only truth, for I am the source of all truth, saith the Lord. Therefore rejoice, that the Lord of glory would speak to thee directly this night, saith the Lord. Yea, you have been blessed to be in my presence, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall, before this meeting is over, I shall visit it with my overwhelming presence, saith the Lord. You'll find yourself doing things that you didn't intend to do. Yea, you'll find yourself acting a way that you never intended to act. Hallelujah. Yea, and it'll be because the glory of the Lord has filled your earth as the waters fills the sea. You are mine, and I am thine, saith the Lord. In this be content, and you shall live, saith God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. God is great. Oh, well, you know that I like to preach on the, I like to preach on life. I'm a life preacher. They used to try to accuse me of being a never-die preacher, but I said, no. You preach never-die, Brother Jack? I said, no. I preach living forever. Well, there is a difference, isn't it? There is a difference in the message of never die and the message that I preach is to live forever. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, Lazarus is laying dead right before him there, buried deep in a tomb. I mean, he's got to put up. If there ain't nobody dead around there, you can talk like that. But there's a dead man here. Not only is he dead, but he's been dead about 4 days. He's stinking already, huh? Yeah, well. And he said to Martha, I know he'll rise in general resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and everything on the other side of it. And I'm all the life, the true life on this side of it.
Amen.
He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
And while Martha was about to rejoice over that, he said, hey, I'll give you one better than that. Hallelujah. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he... Here's the better one. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, Martha? Whereupon she exclaimed exuberantly, yeah, Lord, I believe. I'm glad he didn't ask her if she understood it. He just asked her, do you believe? Hallelujah. And I believe it as emphatically as Martha did.
Hallelujah.
And he said, then he put his words into action, did he not? He raised up Lazarus from the dead. Hallelujah. 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 Well, of course, it would be complicated to tell you all I know about that. But I could just knock you out of the boat right in the beginning and then have to patch it up all the way through by telling you. But I won't do it because I'm not going to preach on life. But what we finally will learn... And I don't know just what stage you may learn this, but what you finally will learn, if you meet God in peace, you'll finally learn that this, what we've been calling life, is death. And what we've called death is life. Well, that's about right. We usually get everything kind of backwards, upside down, don't we? Hallelujah. This is a death realm. And everything here is dying. Everything here has to die. So, for many of us, we have to do that so we can live. But I've always hoped, and I still do, I've always hoped just to walk right into life.
Yes. Walk into life.
Be alive when he comes.
Amen. Amen.
And just walk right into him. Hallelujah. If I don't do that, then I know what will happen to me. I'll go by the way of the grave, and I'll have to wait till he calls. But I'll be listening.
Amen.
I'll hear the first call.
Yes, sir.
And I'll come out.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Oh, I'll be waiting the adoption to wit the redemption of my body.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's not what I want to talk about, though. Let me get into a message here on I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Pleasure to share the word of the Lord with you tonight. Hallelujah. In the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we begin with verse 10. We could begin anywhere here, but we'll begin with verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That's the Lord, isn't it? And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And here's what he gave them for. What did he give them to us for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did you get that?
Yes.
He gave us this fivefold ministry to perfect the saints so that they might work the ministry that would edify the body of Christ. All right? How long?
Until
this is a time word here, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. All right. All right, now, there are many things I might want to say about this. I titled this message, Have You Submitted to the Rod of the Lord? Have you submitted to the rod of the Lord? And this is a rod here. Now I'll give you a lot of scripture, though, before I get through here. All right, now, when he says that he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and who's quoting are the psalmist prophesied this in Psalm 68 and verse 18. The psalmist prophesied this event. And exactly what happened here, and why did it happen? First of all, I'll tell you exactly what happened here. The blessed Lord, when he ascended, that was after his resurrection. He'd already paid the whole debt and was being resurrected back to the throne to await there until his enemies be made his footstool. And as he went up, he gave back gifts to men. Some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, what he did here was that he gave himself back to men. He split his ministry in five. He split himself into five ministries and gave himself back to men. He was the apostle. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, consider our apostle. He was our apostle. He was a prophet he was a prophet everywhere, but in Matthew 24 and 25, 26, he's prophesied. He was an evangelist to the woman at the well of Samaria in the 4th chapter of St. John. And he was a pastor in the 10th chapter of St. John, the Good Shepherd. And he was a teacher on St. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He was the apostle, the prophet, the a pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher.
Yes.
All that have come after him is a prophet, apostle, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. But he is the.
Amen.
He was all of this.
Yes. Yes.
And the beauty of what he has done here is that he has divided himself up in this fashion and given himself to the world,
yes,
to the Christians.
Yes.
And he's waiting now until we come together in the unity of the faith, and this will all be one again. It'll be his body, and he will be, until this time word, our ministry in this category would be complete at that time, and the body of Christ would have come together in perfect unity. Say, I believe that we'd be in that new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Only righteousness. All right. Now, if this is true, and we have to say that it is and believe that it is, tell me, if you will, how can the church world, as we know it, how can they ever be perfected? How can they ever be a part of this finish?
By the fivefold ministry.
Yeah, that's the only way. But But as you know, the church as we know it does not accept an apostle.
That's true. That's true.
They do not accept a prophet. They will accept the term evangelist. However, there are not many evangelists. And they will accept the term pastor and, of course, teachers. But they will not accept the office of an apostle or a prophet. Therefore, there is no chance for them to ever be perfected until they submit to this fivefold ministry. It is given by the Lord Himself. He gave us back Himself to do this, and He wants us to submit to this type ministry.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well,
amen.
Somebody says, well, I don't even know an apostle. Well, maybe not. If you don't, well, I'll tell you the solution there is to submit wherever you are, to whomever is the headship, and pray. And doubtless, God will lead you into the knowledge of this great ministry that He has given here. You have to be under submission to those that have rule over you. Doesn't necessarily have to be an apostle, but the apostle is the rod ministry. He's in the tabernacle in the wilderness. He's the rod that went through the bullards of the tabernacle, the one that went straight through the middle.
Yes.
There were five rods, but the other four were fashioned on the outside by the fingers, but the one in the middle was the apostle's
yes.
rod, and it binds all of them together
yes.
and prayed. And doubtless, God will lead you into the knowledge of this great ministry that He has given here. You have to be under submission to those that have rule over you.
Right. Right.
Doesn't necessarily have to be an apostle, but the apostle is the rod ministry. He's in the tabernacle in the wilderness. He's the rod that went through the bullards of the tabernacle, the one that went straight through the middle.
Yes.
There were five rods, but the other four were fashioned on the outside by fingers, but the one in the middle was the apostle's
yes.
rod, and it binds all of them together.
Yes,
sir. And you can't take it out. If you lost one of the four off of there, the wall would still stand, but you don't want to pull out that middle rod. He's holding everything together. And that's, so he is the rod of the Lord, the apostle is, and the prophet, he guides. He tells us, he drops that. Hey, that's the way the Old Testament saints lived. They lived by the prophecies of the prophets. That's how they got their guidance.
Yes, sir.
That's how they got their instruction. That's how they knew where they were. Hallelujah. And we come today to the place again where we need to listen to what the prophets are saying. And what is the revelation that is unfolding by given to the fivefold ministry? That can be given to anybody, but the fivefold ministry is up front. That's where God usually starts, isn't it? And here the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 21, hear him writing to the church here, and he says, I'm turning over there, 4:21, he says, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? He could come either way. He chose to come in love and in a spirit of meekness.
Yes.
But if he needs to, he can come with the rod of correction. And he knew how to do that. He really knew how to do that. Hey, I know how to do that too, but I don't like to do it. I think that I would dread doing it a little worse than the Apostle Paul would. It's just not my nature. It may have been, well, I don't know. His nature was changed. Mine's been too. But we could come with the... He said, I could come with the rod of correction if I have to, but I don't want to come that way. Paul wanted to... He had the mind of Christ, and he wanted to lead the sheep over as carefully as he could.
Yes.
This just comes to my attention here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I show you this where you can really see the apostle's heart here, the apostle Paul. He says in chapter 7, 2 Corinthians, in verse 8, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing." And then he says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Now, let me tell you how this come about. Paul is writing to this Corinth church. They've had some problems. They've got some problems. And Paul writes a letter to them, and he sends it by a messenger. You know, that's the way they sent it off in those days. He just had a messenger, "Hey, take this to Corinth and give it to the pastor." And he'll read it to the congregation. So, Paul, the runner, the messenger, leaves with a message. And Paul gets to thinking about this letter. Didn't have no copier. We could copy him one to keep. And he, every time I've ever wrote a letter of correction, I kept one on file. Because you can't never tell how somebody may say you did it. Hallelujah. Just a little bit of, that's just plain smart, isn't it? Hallelujah. All right. Told you ain't no dummy. All right. He got to thinking, and he thought, "Well, I guess I probably was too hard on them folks. I bore down too hard. I wish I could get that letter back." And he felt bad about it and went on for a few days, and he's still feeling kind of bad about, you know, he did too tough with them. And then the messenger came back. He stayed for a few services with them, and he watched them get this thing straightened out. He watched them go through repentance and get the problem under control and straighten it out. And he come back to Paul, and Paul said, "Did you deliver it?" He said, "I sure did." "Boy," said, "I wish I could have stopped you after I started you." Well, he said, he said, "You know what effect it has?" "No, that's what I'm waiting on." He said, "Well, when they received your letter, they read it and they repented. I never seen so many tears in my life. It worked godly sorrow in them, and they repented. And they took action immediately." Paul says, now we understand why he begins, "Though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent." He did repent, but now he doesn't repent because it was right. He did it. And he thought that he was being a little bit too hard. That's the kind of spirit that he had. He wanted to use the most comfortable measure that he could to bring this correction about. I think that's commendable of this great apostle. I think that I believe that I have that spirit. I like to do it as carefully as I can. And hey, let me read you another one here. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. You'll like this main verse here. He says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now, I have a problem right here, I think. He wanted to be merciful, that he might be a merciful. He wanted to be merciful. And yet he had a responsibility to be faithful to God, who passes down the rules and gives the law of God and the guidance. He wants to be merciful to the man in question or the person in question, and yet he will minister all the mercy he can without forfeiting any faithfulness to his obligation to God. I really have a problem here sometimes. It is my nature to say somebody comes to me with something, you know, and I'd like to say, hey, let's just forget it and go from here. I mean, that's what I'd like to do. But sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you can't do that. You'll forfeit faithfulness to God by being over merciful. That's the only place you're going to have. You won't have to worry about the other way of forfeiting the mercy to be faithful, because if you get unmerciful, you're going to violate his faithfulness anyhow. Hallelujah. But there's a thin line here. And sometimes we frankly don't know what to do as leaders. Hallelujah. I sometimes feel like the one fellow that had in the church, in the old order that we come up through, everybody that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost felt called. And rightfully so.
Right.
They were called. But we didn't know nothing about anything but a pastor, a preacher. That's the only calling we knew about. So if I'm called, I must be called to be a preacher. That was their concept. And I'll tell you, a lot of them tried it, too. Isn't Brother Billy about the time? About that time, a lot of them tried it. And, I'll tell you, a lot of them just made a big mess out of it. Some of them never did know it. They still think they just quit. But this one fellow, he sold everything he had and bought him a trailer and loaded his kids and wife up, had several kids, and took off. He's going to preach. He called to preach. Bless God, he preached. And he's gone about 3 months. And he come back broke. He wasn't just broke financially. He was broke. And you know what he told me later? He said, Brother Jackson, I decided I'd just like to make somebody a good, you know, just a good member. Sometimes I think I'd like to just make somebody a good member. But I don't know if I could have done that or not. I didn't know whether I could do this or not. I didn't know. I just put on the spot and had to try it. Hallelujah. Well, that's been a long time ago. A lot of water has gone under the bridge since then. All right. So the question then is, how are we going to be perfected? Unless we can at least recognize his ministry. The least that you could get by with is to admit that they exist and that they're in operation today, even if you can't swear that you know one apostle or one prophet or everybody knows one pastor, perhaps. I always say I don't pastor. I just keep a good bunch of folks from getting a pastor. Well, all right. In Ezekiel chapter 20, well, I tried to quit. Now, I was sorry for them, but it's their fault now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ah, bless the Lord. Thank God forever. God's good, isn't he? All right. I'm going to read some here to us in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel, I tell you, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 35. Listen to this. I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. That's what he's saying to Israel. I'm going to bring you into the wilderness of the people. Somebody says, well, that's not the wilderness. Yeah, you bet it is. Hallelujah. Hey, a wilderness of the people is worse than a wilderness of the desert.
Amen.
You ever get into a wilderness of people, that is, hallelujah. If you go into a place where there's a lot of people and they don't understand you, you'll find yourself in a wilderness of people. And this is where God pleads with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. I will cause you to pass under the rod. Here you are. I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Hallelujah. And I will, all right. Now, first you have to notice the procession here. First he causes you to come under the rod. That's under disciplinary discipline. you have to be disciplined to just to coordinate with any group of people, don't you?
Right.
You have to be disciplined. So he says, I will cause you to pass under the rod. That's under the authority. You pass under the authority. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. That is, I will weld you to the covenant.
I will weld you.
Praise the Lord. You remember Bill, I brought him to life with that over in Costa Rica, wasn't it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, the Lord brought him to life. They got on to that. They really caught on to that. I read it to them. All right, now notice what he do. I will purge out from among you the rebels. Hallelujah.
Uh-oh.
Hey, I'm reading it out here. I don't believe it'll say this any different than any translation. Say, you'd have to go to a seminar 2 or 3 years before you can misunderstand this. And... and them that transgress against me. Now, what all is he going to purge out? He's going to purge out all the rebels and them that transgress against him. And I'll bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. And they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When he has done all of these things, you will know that he is the Lord. When he purges out the rebels. Hallelujah. Oh, and he purges them out and all of them that transgress against him. He's purging, he's doing this pretty carefully. He's purging out all them that rebel against the human authority under God. And then there's some that doesn't rebel to that, but they're rebelling against him. He's going to get them too. Hallelujah. And then he's gonna cut them plumb loose from this land, and they're not going to come into the land that Israel comes into the land of promise. All right? But he does all of this. To begin all of this, he brings them under the rod. And then he makes a covenant with them and bonds them to that covenant.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Lady, I think she got mad at me when we was just having conversation in a group, you know, and they was all talking about having graveyard plots. You better buy one over there because they, you know, they're somebody get your place. And somebody asked me, have you got graveyard plots, Brother Jack? And I said, no. No, I don't. Well, what about it? And I said, well, I don't own any. I'm not going to have any. Hey, whenever you see a stone erected over yonder at that cemetery, it may be a double stone, and if it's got my name on it, there ought to be a hump in the earth down there somewhere because I'm there. I'm not going to have my name on one 3 or 4 years before I get there, because if that ain't making a covenant with death, well, I wouldn't know how to start
Amen.
Doing it, would you?
Amen, Brother John. Yes, sir. Amen.
That is not to say that I won't wind up there, but I'm not going to make a covenant with death. Hey, I'm going to leave behind an F that whoever takes charge can just pay for it on the spot. If it says Jack Harris, you look for the middle initial. Oh, that ain't me. You do know that Isaiah said make no covenant with death, didn't he? Didn't say.
Right.
Well, so
they
really
know the covenant.
Yeah, but you know, and hey, this happens to me so often. I go to a funeral or to the folks before the funeral, maybe, and I never have learned what to say. Yeah, but anyhow, I make a reasonable approach, I guess, and I tell them that I'm sorry and I sympathize with them, and they'll get, you know, real broke up. And they said, well, Brother Jack, you know, something we all got to do. And most of the time I say, yeah. And that's kind of hypocritical of me because I don't believe everybody's got to do it.
Amen. That's what the book says.
Hey, if you say everybody has to do it and I could show you one person that didn't do it, I'll tore up your theory.
I show you two.
Yes, sir. Elijah and Enoch.
And I suspect that there's some more.
Yeah. Amen.
We'll find that out about the time we find out that death ain't death and life ain't life. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Who those others were.
Yes.
You know, thousands of people go missing every year from these United States. They're never heard of again. Well, now, I don't nearly believe that all of them got out. But there's a possibility that some of them did. If you can make your ways to please the Lord completely, you can get out. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. But if you began to do that, I can tell it on you pretty soon. You know how I can tell? When the age process starts reversing itself on you. Hallelujah. Oh, don't think that I'm just blowing air here. What's causing all these wrinkles? Sin? How about these gray hair? That's some more at it. And so, how is it that we can look at a fellow and tell about how old he is? About how long he's been here? We can tell about how long he's been facing these the atmosphere and the circumstances around here. It does certain things to him at a certain length of time. And so it's easy for us to tell how old he is or about, thereabout. If you beat it the first 10 years, it'll take you behind the next 10, so you're still not going to get away. Hallelujah. Well, so then he brings us under the covenant. Now, let me take us back to Leviticus chapter 27, and we're going to deal with this a little bit. And we're moving along here. Oh, well, we'll quit at a reasonable time tonight. We won't be lengthy. Praise the Lord. All right. Did I say 27 and 32 and concerning the tithe? Yeah, okay, yeah, here it is. All right, now, concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even of whatsoever, here it is, whatsoever passeth under the rod, they're talking about sheep around here. Hey, what's the first thing the Lord ever called us?
Sheep.
What do we call more than anything else?
Sheep.
Hey, here it is. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Every tenth one of the sheep that comes in from the fields, from the meadows, will be holy unto the Lord. It is given over to the priest and to the temple. And in under the charge of the priest. Here's kindly how it worked. Let me give you draw you kind of a picture here. Of this. All right. The herdsmen bring in their flocks. Shepherds, I guess you'd call them. Shepherds. You know, Joseph told Jacob, when you go into Pharaoh, they were shepherds. He said, tell him that you're herdsmen. Because the Egyptians despise shepherds. The Egyptians despise shepherds. They still do. Hallelujah. All right. So when the shepherds brought them in here in the fall or whenever, they bring them into a great gathering pen that has a lot of shoots. You know what a shoot is. It's one at a time down it. And they run them through that chute. They're going to fleece some of them. And they're going to slaughter some of them. So they got a pen down there, a gate down there, a spring gate that springs open and closed by a touch of a button or something. And the ones that they're going to fleece, they turn over in that area. Well, as soon as they fleece them, they're going to put them back to pasture. Hey, I think that would preach a little bit, but I don't know if I want to shake that one or not. If you get turned over into that bunch where somebody over there is fleecing them. Or maybe you get turned into this bunch that's going to be slaughtered. Or maybe, if you're lucky, you get stopped before you get down there where those gates separate and you don't get fleeced or slaughtered.
you become holy unto the Lord. Now here sets, I watched them do that. Well, I even did this when I was a boy. We used to dip cattle. You know, dip them? Anybody remember dipping cattle? Oh, we had a dipping back there in our place. And had a great corral, and, you know, we'd run them in there and run them down the long chute and right into that vat and right on out the other side. And when I was a boy, I sat on the post that when they went under that, they had to go through they were going to be dipped. And I counted them. I got the number ahead that goes through there. And that's what they were doing here with these sheep when they come in. They got a guy sitting there with a tally. That's a whip. Made a plaited, and on the end of it, it's got a popper, and it holds powder like, you know, a string that you pull and pop, leaves a red or whatever color you want to, red most generally, chalk line, yeah. And he sits up there on this post where all the sheep pass by, and he counts nine and whacks the other one with a whip. And it leaves a red stain on his hip. So when he gets down to the door that turns him into the priest's offering, to the tithe, they open they spring the gate, and he goes into the priest's belonging. From the moment that he goes through that gate, he is holy. He becomes holy unto the Lord. So it said here, didn't it? That he becomes holy unto the Lord. And the others keep going, and like I say, some of them get turned into the patch over here where they're fleecing, you know, like send me, well, for this little bottle of holy water, send me $100 and I'll send it to you. It'll cure the toothache. It'll even cure a heel spur. They're getting fleeced. And then on the other side, they're taking them to slaughter. They're going to have some lamb chops. But these that goes into the tithe, they keep them on hand. They raise more sheep, and they of course have to shear them, and they have to they eat lamb chop too, of course. But the thing about it is that he becomes holy unto the Lord. But when does he do that? When he passes under that rod, when that guy whacks him across the hip with that whip, well, he has become holy unto the Lord. Well, see, something great has happened to him. He's passed under the rod. He has become holy, belonging to the Lord. And yesterday, he was just a sheep in the herd, or the flock. Sheep's flocks, aren't they? Yesterday, he was just a sheep in the flock, but today, he has become holy. He belongs now to the Lord. He has become a tithe. Hey. He became a tithe. Yes. And it is a tithe that is holy unto the Lord. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Isn't that something? Well, hallelujah. He passed under the rod. The tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Isaiah said, in essence, he said, it don't matter what happens, a tenth, the Lord's going to get a tenth of Israel. You know the scripture, it slips my mind just where it's at. But he says, he's saying, no matter what happens, he names a lot of things that could happen. And then he said, but a tenth. He spares a tenth, and it belongs to the Lord. And God's going to, I think he's going to see that he gets that. Hallelujah. All right. So, well, let's look here in the book of Malachi. Let's look over in Malachi here, and I'm winding down now. I'm not going to be lengthy. Praise the Lord. I know that Malachi chapter 3, all right, he says here, he's talking about the tithe now. Will a man rob God in 8, verse 8? But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And he said, in tithe and offerings, you're cursed with a curse. There's some of them curses Doc was talking about. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. You know, it's a hard thing for people. Some people don't have any problem with it, but it's a hard route for some people to pay to give a tithe. Believe me, I know. I'm of many years' experience of watching, you know, and caretaking, and some good people, and they're honest in all of their dealings, but they just can't bring themselves to tithe. Can't do it. I've known them that they tried every once in a while, but they'd never get past a few weeks of obedience, and then they drift right back into their rebellious state again, and they just couldn't turn loose, couldn't break loose. Some of the people that I knew did that didn't seem to be particularly conservative, tight. Didn't. Only in that one avenue. I never could understand that. I do not understand that. I don't. But I know that it's true. Hallelujah. If they can get over this hurdle, they can do, the rest of them won't seem so big, it seems to me like. All right? He says now in verse 10, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. Well, I know how that you interpret this, but I interpret it another way. It is possible that it has two meanings. As a matter of fact, most scripture does have at least two meanings, doesn't it? A natural and a spiritual. It's possible that this has two meanings. This is the way that I interpret it. I'm going to read it just like it is. I'm just going to move the commas. See, all right, if I will not open you the windows, if I will not open you.
Yes, sir. Open you.
I'm going to open you.
Yes, sir.
The windows of heaven. You know, Paul said we were a spectacle and we're, hallelujah. And we are the way to heaven for the lost. Well, I mean, how did you get saved? Well, Jesus saved me. Yeah, but somebody influenced you. They became a window. You've seen the heavens through them. You've seen Jesus through them. All right, now, let's read it like I read it here. See, if I will not open you, I'm going to put a comma there, the windows of heaven, you the windows of heaven. I'm calling you the windows of heaven. And I'm going to pull you out.
Hallelujah.
A blessing. That there shall not be room enough to receive. He's going to open us up. He's going to pour us out. And we're going to be such a blessing that it just can't all be received.
Hallelujah.
Say, any offering that was made to the Lord, what's the first thing that they did to it? A live offering? They opened it up, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
They opened the offering up. That tithe, that lamb, the paschal lamb, they opened up that lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. He's going to pour us out. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we're doing now. That's what he's doing with us now. He's pouring us out. Hallelujah. He's been pouring us out for many years.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's been pouring us out. Emptying us out and filling us again and again and again and pouring us out to the nations and to this nation primarily. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. I think I knew how them cows felt that was pulling that ark, taking it back to where it belonged. The baby calves in the pen bleating for them. And the Bible says they went down the road toward Bethlehem, lowing as they went.
Yes, sir.
That I was raised on a farm ranch thing, and that lowing is a mournful sound. Every time she lowed pitifully, it meant she wanted to go back to that baby calf. Everything in her was demanding that you turn around and go back to that calf. Every desire in her heart was to turn around and go back. But there was something in that box on that cart. Hallelujah. There was something in that box on that cart that brought the overwhelming presence of God.
Hallelujah.
And reversed their nature. Hallelujah. And they went on down the road, lowing as they went, till finally they got out of the sound of the calves bleating for them to come back. Hallelujah. Amen. And they carried that ark where God wanted it carried to, didn't they? They didn't know what they were doing. They were just being poured out. Hallelujah. Just being poured out. For years, for about, I don't know how many years, I've met myself coming back all the time. And I'd go out on, sometimes I'd get up 3 o'clock on Monday morning and leave. I'd go and be somewhere way upstate, maybe Georgia or somewhere up that way. And I'd preach that night. Preached through Friday night, come back Saturday, and then I'd be at home church on Sunday. And I'd do it again next Monday, too. And I'd do it again the next one. I didn't do it every Monday, but I did it a lot of them. And I'd go down that road talking to myself. I was being poured out. And it was, you know, I was feeling the pressure. It was weakening my physical man. And I'd think, when I'd have a human rational thought, I'd think, hey, you're killing yourself. Let somebody else do it. But there was something in me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There was something in me that just wouldn't listen to that. I think some of the sweetest hours I ever had was rolling down the interstate as much as the law would allow, probably for 2, 3, 5 miles, and just talking to the Lord, and the Lord talking to me, just feeling His presence, just being blessed. Say, I've gone into the service so tired I couldn't hardly drag in the building, and in 10 minutes, I'd feel like I'd done slept 8 hours. Refreshed, just like that. Huh. Oh, it's happened to me so many times. God can do it, can't He? I believe Brother Shelter mentioned this. That's getting it together, isn't it? Well, I went down the road, lowing as a wind. I wanted to go back home, and I had all these boys, one daughter. They's all still at home when I was doing a lot of that. And I just wanted to go back, you know, and be with the family. But God didn't permit me to do so. He poured me out up and down them hills, Brother Bill, Brother Billy. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm waiting for that day that He pours me out that blessing that just won't be any land that can absorb all of it.
Hallelujah.
God alone can do that.
Amen.
God alone can do it. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God forever. Let's stand together. My Lord, You've been such a patient and good congregation tonight. I trust that the Lord has broke some of these great truths in your heart, and He has in mine. And I trust that we will be submissive to the Lord and all that He does until the day that He says time is no more. Hallelujah. I long to enter into that phrase, into that realm of eternity.
Hallelujah.
Where time does not exist. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's where He is, isn't it? That's where He is, and that's where we want to be.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank You again tonight for this people that have come under the sound of our voice.
Yes,
thank You for this campground, O Lord, for Brother Glenn and Sister Irma, Lord, and the staff and all the helpers around here, O Lord, that work year-round, Lord, to make these great meetings possible where many needs can be met. Thank You for every deliverance, O Lord. Thank You for sending men like Dr. Null in here and Brother Sister Coffin, Bill and Peggy, hallelujah, and Brother Schaffner and Brother Billy and Owen and Brother Jack and Carol and Tommy and Wanda, hallelujah, and on and on. to share the Word of God with the people that come into this meeting. Lord, and as we share with you, you are sharing with us. I tell you, the blessings I receive are, I fear, greater than those that I give out. My Lord, in Jesus' name tonight, that you bless everyone under the sound of our voice and make them to grow up. Oh, blessed be the Lord. The Lord would say unto thee tonight, yea, that I shall nurse thee along carefully. Yea, I shall bring thee through. Thou shalt appear like fatted calves of a stall, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall bring you into my presence, and ye shall shine forth with the glory of God in your countenance, saith the Lord. Yea, and thou shalt know that you have found true relationship, saith the Lord. You have found true relationship with me, saith the Lord. Yea, and you now know exactly how to relate to your God. For God has brought you into his bosom, into himself. Yea, he has led you tenderly along. Yea, that you might not be left behind, that you might not be lost. That you might not be weary. Yea, I tell you this, if you continue on in well-doing and be not weary, you surely will reap, yea, in the day of the harvest, saith the Lord. And the harvest begins even now. Yea, and great shall be the abundance of reward that shall be yours. Yea, if thou shalt be faithful in a few things, thou shalt have many things to be faithful over, saith the Lord. For I have spoken. And who is he that can gainsay? Yea, know that the Lord is truth, and in him is no untruth at all. Let's lift our hands and give him a great big praise offering. We'll just be dismissed. God bless you, and may the Lord bless you richly. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Glenn. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.